This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
So you heard of Loy. He, along with Peyton Stovall, were named second team. Hagan, in addition to SEC Pitcher of the Year, was named to the first team. Hagan Smith is one of only two pitchers, I think, in Arkansas since Nick Schmidt that have been first team all SEC back-to-back years. Ava Loy, he's either got 12 or 13 home runs, which leads the team this season. Peyton Stovall's in like 339, which leads the team. And then a couple freshmen, Gabe Gackle and Noah Souza, were named to the freshman team. I think about where your bullpen would be without Gabe Gackle. Again, the Aptos, California neighbor. I love that town. I don't know why. I just like the fact that you plucked this guy away from California. And as a freshman, he has been phenomenal this season. I know Souza hasn't played as much lately, but he's had some key moments in his freshman year. And then defensively, Jared Spraylott at third, who is just I don't know if he's Bobby Warnes' defensive S, but I know Bobby's a big part of maybe why he's had a successful year at third base. Bobby was an unbelievable defensive third baseman, and Jared's had a really good year. And then Peyton Holt, an all-defensive SEC performer. You think about him, and he talked about he had played outfield in quite some time. Came in for an injured Peyton Stovall last season, played the infield, then is in the outfield, and has had play after play, top 10 after top 10, and not just can hit the baseball, but we've seen can absolutely field the outfield too.
Yep, and you got a lot of guys you move around. I mean, we think about Peyton Holt and where he can be. You know, you mentioned Warnes, and you may be onto something there, but Dave Van Horn demands that they have good infield defense. I mean, that's where he played. He values that, and you look at Arkansas where they've been defensively most of the year. That's why I was surprised to have some of the errors they had last weekend at A&M, and he mentioned it in the postgame. They have been very solid all year long in a top, I think pretty much top five all year, hanging around 980 in defensive defensive stats. So when you're in that 970, 980 range, you're pretty solid. That's where they've been most of the year.
And I could be wrong, but I believe in that series, Peyton had his first error of the year, Peyton Stovall. Yep. And again, that just goes to show that
hopefully his last one.
Yeah, that infield is just as rock solid as it gets. So that's the SEC again awards. Peyton Stovall, Aloy, second teamers, Gackle, Souza, your freshman guys, Hagan Smith, your first teamer, and then your defensive guys, Jared Spaylott and Peyton Holt. Those are the seven named from the conference office yesterday. All right, what's going on with John Calipari? So this was an interesting thing. I love following recruiting, not just Arkansas in-state, but also nationally. And Travis Branham, who's appeared on this program before with 24/7 Sports, changed his crystal ball pick. And Travis is pretty knowledgeable when it comes to college basketball. We're going to get a chance to catch up with Joe Tipton tomorrow with On3 Sports. He's the one that, all if that name doesn't ring a bell, he's the one that makes the graphics for all these recruits, transfer portal, high school players that end up at their school. So he's getting knowledge before it drops because he's the one making the graphics and knowing where they go. So Joe's going to join us tomorrow at 7:20. But I bring up Travis because he changed his crystal ball prediction from DJ Wagner to Arkansas to a question mark, which I find interesting. And I think people have been wondering now for quite some time why DJ hasn't committed here in state, not necessarily across the country, but you're wondering, all right, this is supposedly Cal's guy. I think we're going to get him. And I'm going to be honest, I thought this was a lock. I don't know if Travis's prediction all of a sudden says, oh, he's not coming here, but I just found that intriguing yesterday when I saw that.
Isn't there a girlfriend or something involved that's going to USC?
Okay, so the outstanding phenom freshman, Christian, will you look this up? The that played at USC this past year. I cannot think of her name, but she's tremendous. She's a great basketball player, but I think there is some truth to them dating. So, Hugh, when you think about it, recruiting against potentially the girlfriend and Eric Musselman, which I would find.
I don't know if he'd go to USC, but I'm just saying maybe somewhere out that direction.
Is around. All, you know. What's
Juju
her name?
Watkins.
Yeah, Juju Watkins. She's a great basketball player. I really enjoyed watching her in postseason a little bit. But, yeah, I think there might be something. And that's, again, that's something from a national perspective that we should keep an eye on when it pertains to Arkansas's potential eighth roster spot. Don't know how it's going to turn out with DJ. Time will tell, I guess. In terms of in-state, and we can talk with Richard about this tomorrow. Cal, I heard you guys talking about this on Friday. Cal and company were at that AAU event. I'm forgetting where it was, but
he was also at an EYBL event because there was a picture I saw floating with him and Mark Pope sitting together.
And I get EYBL, AAU, all that stuff to me runs together. Okay. I know it's different, but
EYBLs, they're both high level, but yeah. EYBLs, from my understanding, even maybe more select.
Even better. Okay. So in terms of in-state, in terms of what kids you're wondering about in-state, Tarion Burgess, the young man from Benton, he's top 40, top 50 kid, if I remember that right. Really good, 6'8", 6'9", lefty. He was talking about Arkansas in a recent conversation with 24/7 Sports. He said, I talked to Chuck Martin, one of the assistants here at Arkansas, on a daily basis. He checks in on me. He wants to get me to campus and tells me I need to help out the state. He likes the environment. The fan base is crazy, and it just feels different being there. Now, he's looking at Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Missouri. So you've got some decent programs that are on them. I think Alabama's of the programs I just listed of the best. But I personally am interested in how Cal goes about in-state recruiting with a guy like Burgess, Seeley, J.J. Andrews, and some of the other talented in-state players in the class of 2025 and 2026. If he's able to get these guys committed, if they go elsewhere, if he decides, you know what, I think I can get a higher caliber player nationally and go elsewhere at this point. But those are kind of the two, both one national, one local kid, that's kind of recent news when it comes to Arkansas basketball.
Now, don't get too tied up. We got to readjust how we as fans feel about recruiting in-state kids. We always want to go for the in-state kid because it's been closer equal to the caliber of what you've been recruiting before. It's all changed. And as much as you want to root on the kid that you've watched from junior high to high school get better, unless they're a phenom, you know, amongst the one that recently comes to mind, there's only been a few. Maybe Joe Johnson and Corliss Williamson was the first in my life. Now, there's been before that. Go back to Sidney Moncrief and players in the 70s. But my point is, you're now dating in a much different class than you were before. So don't get locked up on a kid in Arkansas that's a good player. You're just going after, you're setting your sights a little higher now under John Calipari. Before, made all the sense in the world. I think we really got to recalibrate how we view in-state kids as fans from the outside and not get PO'd when we don't sign the in-state kid that we all think is really good. He is really good. He's just not quite good enough.
And we'll see if Tarion makes the cut or if he decides to go elsewhere. Again, something to watch with him, Isaiah Seeley, J.J. Andrews, and some other kids in these next couple years, some of the notable names in this class. So basketball, keeping on the subject of basketball, we do have our first conference finals game tonight between the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers in Boston in TD Garden as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown try and get a game one win over Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers. Tomorrow night we'll have the T-Wolves and the Mavs. I tend to think this series, this one will go six games. I think the Celtics will close it out in six over the Pacers. I just think they have too much offense. They're so, this is such a weak Eastern Conference. This is not what Michael Jordan had to go through all these Hall of Famers. The East is just horrid right now. In the West, I think you have a much better series between the T-Wolves and Christian Yer Dallas Mavericks. That gets going tomorrow night. And again, I like the idea of Daniel Gafford and Corliss Williamson, two Razorbacks being represented there. What's your feel on this starting tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN?
I'm much more interested in the Western Conference final than the Eastern Conference final. Much more interested.
And I'm usually the opposite. I'm usually more interested in the East than the West, but this year, even with the Oklahoma City Thunder eliminating Isaiah and Jaylen, again, you still have Daniel on this team. And as much as I was disappointed in Game 6 on Saturday night, I think this could be an awesome series. Anthony Edwards is all of a sudden the face of the NBA. I think that's pretty cool for a kid that is in Minnesota. And we got to remember, this is the number one player in the country out of high school. Goes to Georgia. Still don't know why he did that. I guess being a Georgia kid in Atlanta, but don't know why you go to Georgia basketball. There's two good Georgia players ever. Him and the human highlight reel, Dominique Wilkins, and that's it. That's the only Georgia basketball history you need to know about.
I'm just wondering, as we were talking here about it, you know, we got folks listening on 97.1 in South Arkansas. B.A., he texts in and calls in on occasion from El Dorado. Have Maverick hats and T-shirts and jerseys started showing up in South Arkansas? Are they big Mavericks fans down there now because of Daniel Gafford, his roots there in El Dorado?
It doesn't hurt.
I'm sure it doesn't hurt. I'm just interested if they've adopted the Mavericks because of Daniel Gafford in that part of the state all of a sudden.
I've got one buddy that is down there that works for Murphy. I will say this. I've seen a lot of Oklahoma City stuff. And I think, again, there were OKC fans before Jaylen and Isaiah got there. But it has been amped a lot, especially in the Fort Smith River Valley area and in Northwest Arkansas for that matter.
And I'm specifically wondering about South Arkansas, El Dorado. You know, your old stomping ground, Stuttgart and Hamburg and
I'm not
Magnolia.
Down there enough to get the vibe of the Southeast Arkansas the anymore,
people.
But yeah, of the
is your family, your friends down that way talking about the Mavs?
My brother is starting to talk about it. I've always been a big Mavs fan, but
I just think when you got a kid and you're, you know, from your part of the state, your part of the world playing, I'd be a fan.
Here's what I'll say about the Dallas Mavericks. I, even though they eliminated my favorite team in the NBA, because of Daniel, I'm going to root for them to win the whole thing. Not because of Luka, not because of Kyrie, not because of Jason Kidd, who I enjoyed watching when he was in the NBA, but because of one guy. And I wonder if Arkansas fans that really maybe don't have any dog in the fight per se, that aren't a Celtics fan, aren't a Pacers fan, aren't a Mavs fan, or T-Wolves fan, which I don't know how many T-Wolves and Pacers fans. Boston's a popular franchise. It's like the Lakers. Yeah. It's a staple. It's an institution, if you will, of the NBA because of Bird, Parrish, McHale, and those guys in the 80s, and when then even before that, Russell and Havlicek and those guys. But this is just, I think it's cool, the possibility of an El Dorado kid who, by the way, if I remember correctly, didn't start playing basketball till he was a 10th grader. Played football, did marching band, played the drums, did that was our CJ's trivia question that we got into last week. We'll get into the other one coming up. But this is a quote-unquote late bloomer in basketball. And now he's on the biggest stage as a starter for a Western Conference Finals team. So I think it's an awesome story. It's an Arkansas kid. And so if you're going to choose a team, even though I hate to say it, as the team just got eliminated, I would roll with the Dallas Mavericks.
That's what I would have done, too, if the Thunder had a won. I would have been rooting for the Thunder to win it.
Yeah.
And Nader's a likable guy. I mean, he had a good personality in college. I still remember that video of him in, I guess it was the Tad Pad, Ole Miss's old basketball arena back in the day, where he's playing the drums during warmups. And this is just a talented kid. He feels like a guy to me, and maybe some people listening down south could tell me otherwise, that anything he does, he can pick up right away and just do. I mean, whether it's high school, no band, whether it's football, basketball, he just seems like that type of guy that is just naturally gifted in a lot of different things.
All right, all of our basketball conversation, the Cal Tracker and Razorback basketball conversation presented by the Lindbergh Real Estate Group, serving all of Northwest Arkansas, Missouri, and the River Valley. For all of your real estate needs, go to LindberghTeam.com.
All right, it is that time of the morning on a Tuesday where we talk trivia.
This is CJ's Trivia Tuesday, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers in Fayetteville and Russellville.
It's delicious.
There must be 50 customers out there. It's unbelievable.
When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
You guys read the Fayetteville Flyer?
On occasion.
I have found myself reading it more and more. I think it's one of the best publications in Arkansas, not sports related. I read it more and more, it seems like, each week. I love the different news updates, movie updates. They have the like pop culture. They have just different things here and there. Well, they released something yesterday, which I found interesting. The Northwest Arkansas city that had the highest growth increase last year. Fayetteville is now over 100,000 people, which it surpassed Fort Smith, I think, in 2021 as the second biggest city in the state of Arkansas, only second to Little Rock. And our CJ's Trivia Tuesday question is, which Northwest Arkansas city had the highest growth increase this past calendar year?
Probably a smaller one.
Yes, and it's a good point. Don't say it. 877-377-6963. That is our CJ's Trivia Tuesday question. Which NWA city grew the most in 2023? The answer surprised me.
Well, the census numbers, I heard Ruskin and Zach talking about this last week. I think in the metro area, if you will, I think there's, 330,000 or something in Benton County alone, and then 500,000 plus in the area. I mean, it's busting at the seams is just one of many ways to describe the growth. And I think once the Walmart campus gets completed, get set to go to another level.
Do you know when that's due by?
Nah, whenever Walmart says.
Whenever they say. I grew up in Rogers, going to Rogers in the summer, holidays and whatever, visiting. My grandparents used to live there. Now my grandmother lives in Little Rock. Grandpa there has since passed away. I went to school in Fayetteville. And then our station, of course, is in Springdale in Northwest Arkansas. So I kind of feel, but some of these smaller cities, I find myself like when I go to Northwest Arkansas, not just for game days and weekends and stuff, and I'll just drive around just kind of to see what's been built. It is insane, the growth. You mentioned the growth of Farmington out west earlier, Fayetteville West. You just go anywhere now, and NWA is just, it's blown up.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And I don't like, I think I saw a stat that it's supposed to by 2030, if I remember correctly, we're supposed to have over 1 million people in Northwest Arkansas, because it's over 550 right now, the number that you just referenced, but we're supposed to have over 1 million in Northwest Arkansas.
All right. Call board's full.
Who we got, Christian? All right. Jack has called in here in Fayetteville this morning. Jack, which Northwest Arkansas city had the highest growth increase in 2023?
I believe it was Tommytown.
That is correct. Nearly 13% of an increase. Tommytown. We got your information, Jack. We will get you that CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers gift card.
It's all that good Italian food out there.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, now I personally, if I was to buy a residence in Northwest Arkansas, I like Johnson. I think it's close to Fayetteville. It's close to the interstate. And I just kind of like even though it's in Northwest Arkansas, still got that small town feel to me. That's where I would live if I was to buy a residence in Northwest Arkansas.
Too many tickets. You'd get too many tickets living in Johnson.
Just like driving, or what do you mean?
Yeah.
Have you gotten tickets before?
I haven't, but I mean, it's a known speed trap in Johnson. I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Really? Okay. Great place to get a ticket. Just go fly and get off exit 69 there and just take off.
Go
see
through.
See what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been there. And I don't think, I'm going to be honest, I don't even know if I've ever seen a cop there in Johnson. Oh.
I question whether or not you've been to Johnson.
I don't really pay attention. Didn't know that was a thing. Now I learned something new.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Phil, what's going on, man? How has Hoover, Alabama been treating you the last couple days?
It's been boring. There hasn't been anything to do. I say that actually kind of like being okay with this, because at the end of a long college baseball season, it's not that bad to have just a couple of days without much going on. So it's been bright and sunny. I've just been kind of hanging out. Yeah. I haven't been worried about all that much. Went to see a minor league baseball game. I know the team practiced yesterday, but that was while we were doing halftime, so I didn't go to the workout at Hoover High. And today the tournament starts, so there'll be some games to watch.
You mentioned that, you know, halfway tongue-in-cheek, but this thing is a grind. 56, I know they didn't quite get to 56 regular season games. You can start to smell the finish line, but, you know, give us some insight. Give the audience some insight to the grind it is. Not just for you as a broadcaster, but, you know, you see it firsthand traveling with this team. It's, you know, I don't think people realize the mental exhaustion a season as lengthy as baseball can create.
Well, it's 15 weeks. There are no weeks off, right? I mean, every college basketball team gets at least 7 days without a game, or, you know, a Christmas break without that. Football teams get a week, or this next year we're getting 2 weeks without a game. And there isn't any of that for baseball. I mean, the game is designed to not have byes anyway or weeks off. But it's a day-to-day process. Even on days where they're not playing, there's work that goes into preparing for the next opponent and preparing your mind and your body and trying to figure out, you know, why you might not be hitting or why your pitches aren't going where you think they ought to go. And it's just a lot of games, you know. I mean, just look at a guy like Vaheva Aloy, who's played every single game. He's the only one who's played every single game this year. And like, his body can handle it, I'm sure. But that's a lot of time swinging a bat, running the bases, fielding your position, you know, especially you know, there's a lot of travel that's gone into this for over the last month for this team. They always finish on the road before Hoover and then go to Hoover, so that's just expected. But, you know, I mean, two of the last three regular season weeks were on the road. They were in pretty high, intense environments in Kentucky and Texas A&M. And I just think I like the way that they do this. They always finish the regular season on the road and then go to Hoover and are always the first team here. So, you know, a lot of other teams, they'll finish their Saturday game, they'll go home, and they'll you know, get everything together to come to Hoover. It's a travel day for them. That Sunday is a travel day for them, and then they come here and they practice, and then usually there's a game for those teams on Tuesday. I think Arkansas is one of the only teams that just relaxes on Sunday, and it's a full day, and they can't go anywhere. Like, there's no, they can't go get swings into the cage. They, I talked with Hagan Smith yesterday briefly. He and his catch partner Jake Faraday just had to go outside to the parking lot and play catch, and just to keep their arms loose. You know, that's the daily thing that a ball player wants to do. So I think the rest is meaningful for them right now, especially with what's ahead of them. Not just this tournament, which can be a real grind, but the postseason is, if we think the regular season is intense, and it really is, there's nothing quite like the college baseball postseason.
Phil, you mentioned Hagan there, SEC Pitcher of the Year, first-team All-SEC guy, and like I said, got to be an All-American. I think people are interested in what the plan is with him this week. I think there's a possibility they pitch him off next week, depending on the matchup, but maybe you could give us your thoughts on what you think happens with Hagan this week if he's playing on Thursday or Friday.
Well, for one thing, there's no guarantee that there is a Friday game. They're guaranteed two games. Mm-hmm. So part of that may have to do with what happens tomorrow when they play either Alabama or South Carolina, because you definitely want Hagan to pitch. And he could pitch Thursday and then be on, well, I guess, a little extra rest, whether he would pitch the Friday after or the Saturday after. I think it's really important for them to get Brady Tigert on the mound in some capacity. And he wasn't on the travel roster last week, and he was with the team, but they just wanted him to watch and to rest and to be ready to pitch this week. Now, I don't know the role that he'll pitch in, but whatever the role is, he's going to be an important part of this team in the postseason. So will Mason Molina. And I think watching him pitch those three perfect innings in the West Division clincher Friday was huge for this team. I feel like a lot of people just discounted the importance of Tigert and Molina because they hadn't pitched very well. And you're like, all right, well, we're going to have to get them out of the rotation. These guys are still going to be really important pieces. And Mason was back, and he was right. So hopefully that continues. This week, like, wins and losses don't matter all that much. But trying to get in the right mindset, I think, is for a few guys like a Kendall Diggs, like a Vaheva Aloy. Tiger, definitely. Hagan's going to be fine. Whatever they have him do, I think he's going to be just fine. We've seen that over the last 13 starts. You remember the first one, he didn't pitch very well in opening day, and he's been lights out ever since. So he's like the last thing anybody would worry about. It's some of those other guys I mentioned that I think that their concern would be the right idea, the right word.
Bill Elson with us live from Hoover, Alabama. You're so right about Tiger and Molina, but I think one thing this A&M series possibly provided is the identity of a fourth starter. And you say, what do you mean? Well, when you get into to a regional and you have a game you didn't maybe plan on having to play, or you get into Omaha, hopefully eventually, there's going to be a moment where you're going to need someone that hasn't been one of your three starters to potentially start a game. I thought last weekend maybe, you know, provided some confidence and some insight as to how you might handle that situation if you find yourself there somewhere in this postseason.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were planning on Gage Wood being one of the starters for the last 2-3 weeks. It's just a matter of they were giving Brady and Mason a little extra time to try to work through what they were trying to work through. And Woods looked really good. I thought he was impressive against A&M. You know, to go five innings in your first SEC start and only allow three runs, is impressive, but to do it against that team in that ballpark, especially considering that, you know, he allows a two-run homer in the first inning. Only one of those runs were earned because of a rare error for Stovall, and then just one run the next four innings and kept him in the game. I mean, you know, he's the main reason why the Hogs came from behind against Mississippi State with that big six-run comeback a Sunday before, because he came out of the pen and stabilized things. But, you know, that one of the things, when he was one of the more effective relievers for this team. So if you move him into the rotation, which I think is what's happening right now, well, you're going to have somebody else step into that void as a very important reliever. And that's where maybe Tigard can get back to being a productive part of the club. I wonder about him as a starter for four or five innings, just because he has trouble commanding his fastball, and an inning or two, maybe that could work. So, I mean, that's really the important thing that I'm focusing on this week, because I like Gage as a starter, but I also really like him as a reliever. I mean, he's been a Swiss Army knife as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's inherited bases loaded in the ninth inning with nobody out. He started a game. He's come into for long relief when the team needs somebody to stabilize things, and now he's a starting pitcher. But you got to replace that piece of relief pitching he was doing, because for as important as a starting pitcher is, man, sometimes your bullpen is even more important, and I think that's been on display the last couple of weeks.
Phil, you mentioned the importance of maybe getting Brady Tigard back in rhythm. What about Will McIntyre? We've seen Mac as an important part of that bullpen and postseason play as anybody. How do you think that he kind of gets back into the role we presume him to have this upcoming postseason?
You know, for Will, a very important thing is for his cutter to be doing what he wants it to do, and for it to be a pitch that he throws for strikes, and then if he throws it out of the strike zone, gets swings and misses. And he didn't throw it for strikes in the game that he pitched on Thursday in the 1-0 loss. He only faced the one batter, but then he just had too much of the strike zone. It didn't have very good location. He's not a pitcher that can get away with making too many mistakes. When he was getting a lot of outs, and what his ERA was in the mid ones, and he looked like the best reliever in the SEC for the first month and a half of a season, a lot of people were saying things like, man, I love watching Will McIntyre pitch because he's a pitcher and doesn't just blow guys away. Well, if you're going to pitch like that, if you're going to be a pitcher and not a hard thrower, which he really isn't, then you have to have really fine command. You have to be able to throw the ball to spots, and he was doing that then, and hasn't necessarily been the case for the last, I'd say, about 3 weeks to 4 weeks. He did have one really good outing against Mississippi State where he did that, so it sounds so easy sometimes to say, well, you got to be able to throw strikes, well, you got to be able to command your stuff. I just think it's a lot more difficult than that, and I think that's on display with Will.
We saw Ty Wilmsmeyer get three hits over the weekend at A&M. Who's a bat in the lineup that, you know, past the Stovalls and the Holtz and the Aloys in the lineup, who's a bat that needs to get hot that would make a difference in a postseason run in your mind?
Well, I mean, the obvious one would be Diggs. He didn't mention his name. And you just need a run producer in the middle of the lineup somehow. And that's what Hudson White's turned into. That's a thing that I think this team was really lacking, was a batter that, you know, was in the middle of the lineup that you just knew was going to produce runs. That's what Kendall Diggs was last year. That's why he always hit fourth, fifth, or sixth. And that's where he was mostly this year. And you can see he's up and down the batting order right now, because we don't know what it is that he's doing well. Is it a matter of getting on base and setting the table up for somebody behind him, or can he still be the guy who he was last year, where he's driving the ball and knocking in runs and hitting three-run homers, which was his specialty last year? So Diggs is one of them, but if that doesn't happen, I think you need some more run production from Ben McLaughlin. I really like Ben as a hitter. Sometimes I wish he would I don't want to put it in these terms, but like swing for the fences a little bit more. Just be more of a run producer in the middle of the lineup, and that's where he's been hitting. Just, you know, I haven't seen as many RBIs from him as I guess I expected for someone who seems to be such an advanced hitter and you playing that position at first base. But I mean, that's been the main issue for this team is not really. It's not a matter of they don't hit. It's a matter of taking advantage of the opportunities when they're there for you, and for the most part right now it's Hudson White's that taking that advantage. Holt every once in a while, Stovall too, but if you can get one or two more guys that you feel are consistent run producers, and it's guys that have done it before too, you know, McLaughlin and certainly Diggs, I'd say those two are really important bats.
Bama and South Carolina, one of them Arkansas's opponent tomorrow. That's pretty much in the heart of halftime today. Are you going over there to do the show, or how are you going to watch that game today? And will the team be over there watching Bama and South Carolina?
Yeah, I know the coaches will be watching. I don't know if the whole team will make it over there, but all the games are watchable. I mean, the SEC Network carries everything, and it's all there. And I've learned it's not the best idea to do a radio show while there's a baseball game being played in the background with all the music and all the sounds that go along with it. So I'll stay in the hotel, but I'll keep the game on, and I'll be watching it as closely as I can.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
And I'm not necessarily looking at how they're going to do down the road in the postseason. It's too early to tell. But I think the way we end the year, I've got Tennessee at the top. They won the East. They're the number one seed. That's not why I necessarily have them there. I just think they're playing the best baseball right now. I got Tennessee at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power. I'm going to guess you do as well.
Well, for once this year, you're correct. Yeah, for once. You know, I looked, Chase Burns pitched for Tennessee last year, was their best pitcher. He transferred through the portal to Wake Forest. I checked his stats this morning. He's 10-1 with a 2.23 ERA. And like, dang, I wish he'd have been at Tennessee. I hope they don't send Wake Forest over to Tennessee for the regional. I don't want to see him.
He's a dog. But y'all have plenty of all SEC guys on that. I mean, I looked at the list yesterday. It's covered with Tennessee guys.
Here's the problem with Tennessee, Tommy. We play in a launching pad in Knoxville. Omaha is not a launching pad. You know, and you know we're banging the ball out of the park. I think it's 161 home runs. That don't work in Omaha. Yeah.
I got Kentucky at number two. I mean, I know they lost the series to Tennessee. They beat Arkansas. I think Kentucky right now is playing the second best baseball in the SEC. I got Kentucky at number two.
They are, and their reward is they get the LSU Georgia winner in their first SEC tournament game. That might be bad either way.
That's the toughest second game matchup of any of the top four seeds.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And think about Georgia, the season they've had. They got to play LSU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Wes Johnson, former Arkansas pitching coach, done a great job for them. I mean, you got Condon, who might win, or probably him or Caglione, probably going to win the Golden Spikes. That is they lost to Florida this weekend in, I think, one game extra innings. But outside of that, they were rolling prior to this weekend.
They were.
Yeah. I got the Razorbacks at number three. I know they just lost the series to A&M, but with Hagan Smith, and maybe I'm homering up, but I got Arkansas at three.
They won the West. They deserve it. Number two seed in the SEC tournament.
A&M at four. And they probably deserve to be higher. They're number one in the RPI. They're number four in the D1 baseball poll. I think they're going to be a problem. I think they've been to Omaha, what, six or seven times, and never won a national title. But I got A&M at number four right now.
I agree. 44 wins, second most in the SEC, but yeah, right. Number four.
So we agree. One, two, three, four?
Yes, sir.
Let's see if we can go for five. Six. Go for five. I've got Georgia at number five.
Yes.
I got Georgia at five and Mississippi State at six.
Yes.
All right. So we agree one through six. Georgia, they're going to wreck somebody's plans. I'm not necessarily talking about the SEC tournament this week. They're going to be
They're going to have their, they're going to host their own regional, and they're going to go to someone's place for the best of three the following weekend and cause some problems.
There's a lot of
And I'm afraid they're coming to Fayetteville.
Well, I think it was either Chuck or Clay that made this point. I think it's valid that they are probably not going to get paired with Tennessee or Kentucky being on the eastern side.
Yeah, Chuck said that yesterday.
Georgia hasn't played Arkansas this year.
I think College Station would be a great place for Georgia to go in the second weekend. I really think Texas A&M and Georgia would be a hell of a best of three, so I hope they send them there.
Or Clemson.
Or Clemson. I made an attempt here. Right? So, Pradco Pyramid of Power, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, Georgia, Mississippi State. I attempted, and I think this... It's hard to do because you don't have the conference tournaments done and it's not all over. But I attempted to put together the 1-8 next week of what I think the committee will do.
Wow. Extra credit for Tommy.
I got Kentucky as the one seed because they've been near the top all. I think they're going to have a good week this week.
You're talking about for the NCAA tournament, number one seed.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't think Tennessee cares about that much this week. And this is something Kentucky probably like to maybe go a little further. And I don't think it's really a reward to be the number one seed based on how it's been. So I Kentucky at one,
okay.
North Carolina at two, Tennessee at three, A&M at four, Arkansas at five, Clemson at six, Indiana State at seven, and UC Santa Barbara, who's out right at 10 in the RPI, but they've got to have some kind of West Coast in there. So UC Santa Barbara.
What's their nickname, Ty?
The Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
It's like the top hat guys, right?
The Gauchos.
Okay. Now, I know that the Sycamores, who got hosed last year, if you remember, they had like some minor league team that was playing in their ballpark that weekend. So the super regional they were supposed to have, they had to go somewhere else. So I would, from a feel-good story.
They didn't get hosed, they need to have their own ballpark.
Yeah, from a feel-good story, I would like to see Indiana State be one of those national seats like you're talking about.
They can't give them all to the SEC and the ACC. That's some of my recipe here is they're not going to let the ACC and the SEC have them all, and they're going to have something out west.
Well, the NCAA's already robbed Indiana State once. They kept them out of the NCAA tournament, which was robbery.
Do you know I'm Oregon State on there, Tommy? We got a text in there on the McCarty-Dino hotline from Josh and Harrison.
Nope.
Didn't make the list.
Not for the top eight, no.
Here's the thing about the SEC. Who's going to get in that's not in the Pranko Pyramid of Power top
Oregon,
six?
By the way, Oregon State's RPI is at 13. So
everybody else has a losing record in the conference that's not in our top six.
Yeah, LSU's probably...
Well, okay, let me give you some data on that.
Look at him.
He did his bonus homework. Actually, he's got extra credit.
3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You got 12 teams from the SEC in the top 32 of the RPI.
They're not all going to make it.
They're not all going to make it.
Ole Miss is in there, aren't they?
Ole Miss is 32.
They're not going to make it.
LSU's 30. It's a big week for both of those teams. Vanderbilt's at 27. I think when you draw the line, A&M's at 1, Arkansas 2, Kentucky 3, and I'm talking RPI here. Tennessee's at 5, Georgia's at 6. So that's... Five of your top six. North Carolina is 4 and Clemson 7, by the way. Five of your top six are SEC schools. They're all safely in. Alabama's in, I think. South Carolina is in. Mississippi State, I think, is in.
Oh, Mississippi State's in.
Yeah.
You think Bama's in?
They're 18. I think so.
They lost 2-3 to Auburn.
I said, I think so.
I think so.
That's a rivalry.
They're 18th in the RPI.
Bad baseball.
Past that, I think Florida, Vanderbilt, LSU, Ole Miss are bubble-ish.
So
I think it's a big week for those teams. Is all I'm saying. Auburn and Missouri didn't even make the tournament, so they're clearly out. So, but I mean, you've got all these teams that are, I mean, from an RPI standpoint, are all right there.
Yeah. Well, they took it on the chin from them top five. Right. Everybody else.
So
run the Pradco Pyramid Power, Tommy. Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, and you said Georgia and who?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State is number six.
Yeah, and of those records you were mentioned, Georgia and State are at the bottom 17 and 13. So
Georgia
conference record.
And I don't know what's going to happen for Georgia and Hoover this week, but and they have a tough matchup against LSU. Yeah. Like there's no guarantee they get out of Tommy Tanks and the Tigers, but that is not a team you want to see on the opposite regional of you at all for any SEC program or any program at all.
Is that a bullfrog in there?
What kind of frog is that in there? I thought I saw him grab
too many cigarettes. I don't know. We had seven guys for the Arkansas Razorback baseball team that were named to the All-SEC squad. You got Hagan Smith, first-teamer, Peyton Stovall, Vahava Aloy, second-teamer, Gabe Gackle, Nolan Souza, freshman, and then you got the defensive guys, Jared Spraylot. And he's not just a defensive guy. He's just a dude, Peyton Holt.
Fouch behind 3-1. The pitch to Downs is lined to right field. Chased by Holt. Holt overran it. Still makes the catch. Leaping and reaching back behind himself.
So that's pretty solid numbers for your Arkansas baseball team this year. Phil would probably be the one to ask, and maybe we'll ask Tom Murphy if there was anyone that he felt like that was left off this list. But, I mean, seven guys for a bunch of first, second, all defensive, all freshmen. I'd say you cleaned up pretty good with the conference office.
When you're the division champion, you're going to get so many spots. You've earned it. Not surprised at all. And, you know, again, there should not have been much discussion on Hagan Smith and whether or not he was the pitcher of the year. That should have been the easiest call on the list.
Yep, also named yesterday. Arkansas will find out its opponent later on today in Hoover, Alabama at the Met as the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Alabama Crimson Tide take on each other. And then Arkansas will play them tomorrow between 1 and 1:30. We've had a change in game time. You'll start hearing our buddy Phil Elson tomorrow at 12 o'clock on most of these radio stations. So make sure you stay tuned for that. They moved up the game. Not the first pitch. I need to correct myself. Yeah. But the airtime.
The broadcast time has changed to noon.
For the baseball program.
And the problem with that, when you're in a tournament, you don't know when the game is going to start, and the run rule applies in the tournament. If the game ahead of you is over early, now you've got a problem because they're going to play 30 minutes after the game in front of you. Now, there's two sessions of the day, but so they're buying a little 30 minutes of insurance to make sure you don't miss the start of a game somehow.
Yep. Hunter Yurchek joins us last week. He was with the One Razorback Roadshow, and we talked all things football. We talked Cal and baseball or basketball. We also talked about this baseball team. In addition to that, he was very high on the women's golf team. That was at the NCAA championship. They finished 10th. Here is Coach Shauna Taylor on their round yesterday.
I think through about 12 holes, I think we had a chance to make the eight. Had a few hiccups coming down the stretch. You know, made a few tactical errors and hit it in some spots that were pretty tough to get it up and down. So we fell short. But overall, I'm just really proud of our team. We had a heck of a fight this year. We won four times to finish 10th in the nation. I think says a lot about our program and the direction in which we're headed. And it stings to not make it to the eight this year. But overall, I'm very proud of this group.
I believe it's their best finish since 2019. You've got a really good men's golf team and women's golf team, and cool to see all the Arkansas Razorbacks represented at the NCAA Golf Women's Championship.
Particularly for a school that, I mean, you think about the golf season and, you know, the off season, it gets cold here in the winter, and they've got a great indoor facility at the Blessings. They have a very difficult course to practice on. Golf, you would think, is a lot more of a regional sport that the schools out west in Arizona and, you know, where the weather's always good, Florida and in the South should dominate. I think Arkansas's got a really good program considering that you've got 3 or 4 months of the year where outside, it, you know, these guys will get out and play, but it's more challenging. Fortunately, they've got great practice facilities.
I got to be honest, it's probably good that it gets cold here in Arkansas during fall and winter, because it's one thing to golf during the summer when things are as busy around here, but I don't know if we'd get anything done if we could golf 24/7, well, I mean, 365 a year.
I played a lot of days this last winter. Get you a cover, get you a cart heater. And maybe it's above about 45 or 47, the wind isn't blowing bad, it's manageable.
Yeah.
But these guys don't ride in carts. They don't have cart heaters. They walk, yeah. You know.
We were talking about Jerry Jones during the break. I saw that Netflix is going to do a continue on with kind of a sports documentary. They're going to go into the career of Jerry Jones and his taking over the Dallas Cowboys, which he purchased in 1989. I really enjoyed.
What was that, $150 million, $160 million, something like that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the before they were Cowboys with him. Jimmy Johnson, who was the other guy that they did for the SEC? I think it was the SEC Network that did that documentary a couple years ago.
I remember Jimmy Johnson. I thought it was just those two.
Just those two? It might have just been those two, but I really enjoyed that. I think this is also going to be really enjoyable. Do I think Jerry Jones is, from a football standpoint, the best owner and GM in the National Football League? No, but he's the most entertaining. And as an Arkansas Razorback graduate like he is, I'm very interested in anything he does. Now, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I will absolutely, I think it's going to be a 10-part docuseries. I'm absolutely going to watch this.
I don't care about that. I want my team to be good.
There you go.
There you really
go. That's what I want to hear.
I mean, I'm just sick of it. I mean, it's just, it's played out at this point. I mean, okay, you're entertaining. Good for him.
He's go off, Big C.
He's making money. Great. Man, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about everything non-football related about him.
Just, you know, they're the most valuable franchise in sports. How's that make you feel?
I really don't care. I mean, it's great and all, but if you're not winning, I mean, it's just, ugh. I mean,
go off. Just keep going.
I mean, I'm just sick of it.
I understand because a lot of Cowboys fans feel the same way you do, Christian. But I'm not a Cowboys fan, so I can enjoy this from an entertainment standpoint. Last thing.
By the way, I did see where Netflix was going to spend $150 million producing those Christmas Day NFL games. Mm-hmm. It's $75 million a game they're going to spend on the production of the game. So they said that's equivalent to one of their top end series that they would produce. So they're backing this with a lot of money to make sure it looks right and feels like an NFL production.
And on the subject of that, I don't know how much they're trying. Like they have, I think we talked about this, like they have the number of what subscriptions they want to reach. And I'm talking about Netflix trying to get more listeners because they have the Chiefs. Got to remember, this is not, they're not just putting four NFL teams that no one cares about. The Chiefs are playing on Christmas Day, as they did in the NFL playoffs on Peacock last year, which I think generated 24 to 25 million viewers, and I think was considered a success by Peacock. I wonder how many, not just viewers, but subscriptions Netflix needs. Y'all know I'm not a fan of it. I'm a young buck, and I still hate it. I think streaming is awful for sports. I just want to be able to turn on my television, flick right to it. I don't want to go to an app. I don't want to go to another device. I just want to turn on my bleeping TV and turn it on traditional cable or a non-cable channel and find my NFL game. Well, Roger Goodell has elected otherwise. This is the venture they're going into, and he's going to suck the life and the money out of every NFL fan in the sport. And I hate it.
No, it
but
won't.
I'm going no, to continue to pay to watch this. That's the issue, is I can't get enough. Even though it's not my Netflix account, it's my roommate's. That's how I feel about that.
And if you didn't have one, you would go get it.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Hagan Smith, front and center, SEC Pitcher of the Year, first teamer, Stovall and Aloy, second team, Gackle and Souza, freshman team, and then Sprague Lott and Holt, all defensive team. When you look at that list littered with Razorbacks, the SEC Western Division champion for fifth time in 6 years, any surprises, guys, that you thought should have been on the list, and just your overall thoughts on that release yesterday?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Always a pleasure. No, I thought they were well represented. When you think about who their most dominant players are, obviously Hagan Smith is a number one, and he's pitcher of the year. And then, you know, if you look at it from a hitting standpoint, not a lot of guys just completely tore it up. And Stovall came in, and he's hitting well. So he makes second team. That's sensible. And then Aloy's been a really good pickup at shortstop, and he leads the team in home runs, even though Arkansas is home run numbers really don't compare with some of the other teams in the conference this particular season. So those make sense. And
you know, Jared Sprague-Lott has fielded the ball really well in conference play. I think he's got one error.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up his overall fielding, and you remember he had a couple of games early on. I think he had a two-error game in Arlington. So his overall fielding is somewhere around 932, which would not get you on an all-defensive team. But in conference play, he's done great, and he's made some spectacular plays. So, and, of course, Peyton Holt, well-deserved, a guy who transitions in season and becomes an all-conference, all-defensive player in conference in, as an outfielder, because his diving grab, I liked his diving grab. I can't remember the series, maybe Mississippi State, but that might have been as good a catch as we'll see all year. And then, of course, the D curve around the world, man, there's never been a hasn't been a play like that all season. So he's deserving of that. And of course, Gackle tied for the conference lead in saves. Good choice there. You know, you could have might have made an argument he's a all-conference reliever. But good deal there. And, I mean, you could talk about McLaughlin, but his batting average is below 300. And he's at a position that's got, like, Jack Caglione and some other stud hitters at. So, no, I thought they were well represented.
Tom, let's talk about the guy in the middle, and that's in the Tegan Smith, the guy that everyone always wants to talk about. We asked Phil this, and I want your thoughts. So you've got today's game and tomorrow's game that 100% on the calendar. Sorry, tomorrow's game and then Thursday's game, and then the possibility if you win one of those games on Friday. Hagan pitched last Thursday. Do you, if you're Dave Van Horn, do you just go and pitch him on Thursday, or do you wait to see what happens maybe with your outcome on Wednesday and then decide who's going to get the starting role for that Thursday game?
Well, that's a good question. And I think how serious they are about wanting to win the conference tournament comes into play. You want to keep him on a schedule. So let's just say you know he doesn't pitch Wednesday, which he wouldn't, and then you don't pitch him Thursday, but you're eliminated. Then he's got to throw some kind of simulated deal that day or Friday, right, to be ready for the next week. And I think I'd rather have him in a game. So if it was me, I'd throw him on Thursday. And then if your regional starts on the Friday, then you'd have him available that day. And then, of course, the conversation comes into play. Do you hold him for a potential game two, which is always, you know, some coaches regret it when they do it. Some regret it when they don't do it. But all of those dynamics come into play. But if it were me, everything being equal, I would start him on Thursday.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. You know, Tom, when you look at this week, I've always been a proponent and thought the top two teams, the division winners, and I know we're moving away from divisions, but they should be exempt from this tournament. I think what you do this week sets up for next week. You know, you talk about staying on schedule. There, you know, you can throw in the bullpen. You can hit in the batting cage. I just think the rest might be more valuable for the top three or four or five teams than anything in the outcome here. I know that winning a conference tournament, but I just wonder, would you rather have the rest or the opportunity to play if you could, if coaches would speak candidly about it?
Yeah, that's an interesting proposal. The conference obviously would not be for that.
It'll never happen. Yeah.
No. Because you're the big draw. I mean, this is like Tennessee 2 years ago. They were the big draw. Arkansas the year before that, they won the conference tournament. They were the draw. Or, you know, people want to see you play because you had such a dominating season. You've got Kevin Copps on your roster. But I get your point. It's well made that having a big rest could do your team good. But I tell you, those coaches, man, when you're in that groove and then – you look at the Major League Baseball playoffs when teams have long breaks. A lot of the higher seeded teams in the Major League playoffs last year struggled or lost their opening series. And we know why. Were they out of, you know, a little rusty, out of their rhythm? So I think coaches would probably largely advocate to go ahead and at least play two games for their conference tournament weekend just to kind of stay sharp.
Is Arkansas in a groove right now? You mentioned teams that are in the groove. How would you describe Arkansas and their level of play heading into the conference tournament?
Well, I would say they're not in the best groove they've had all year, which is probably the back-to-back sweeps of Ole Miss and LSU, which occurred pretty early. But, you know, I don't think they're far off of it. Where they're kind of out of the groove is what the second and third pitching options are. My guess would be that Brady Tigert would start tomorrow, and Of course, we're going to talk to Dave Van Horn at 11:30, and he'll probably be ready to announce that. But I would think he'd be ready to go on Wednesday, and then he'd have a long rest going into next weekend. And if, let's just say you keep winning and you get to Friday, then that becomes a you go back to Molina. Do you stay with Gase Wood? And then if you win that game and you get into Saturday, then you start thinking about the pitchers you don't want to throw to have them fresh for the next weekend.
Tom, who's the bat in the lineup that needs to come up a notch or two to make a postseason run? Or is there a bat or two you say, you know, they could just find some magic, can bottle it up here for about 3 weeks? Who are those players you see in the lineup that could make the difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's obviously, you know, about half of the hitting lineup you'd want to see hotter. And Kendall Diggs would be the obvious answer just because we know that he struggled for a while with the shoulder. But, I mean, other guys like McLaughlin hasn't had a long, you know, like a long slump, but it's just kind of, you know, gradually gone down below 300. I'd like to see him pick it up. I mean, Peyton Knowles hit a huge home run in the last series, but, you know, he didn't have a great weekend at A&M. So, I mean, there's several guys. Peyton Stovall had a game where, you know, they could win game one against A&M if he has a big hit, you know, in the, I guess it was the 10th or 11th inning. So, I mean, and Aloy, he hit two home runs over the weekend, but before that, he'd been in kind of a little homerless segue. And then Jared Sprague-Lott, who had been so consistent for much of this year, and he had weekends where he was their best hitter, well, then he has a little bit of a slump last week. And so really, I mean, I wouldn't say anybody's tearing it up outside Hudson White right now. And so they need to, you know, the DH position needs to hit better, get on base better. I mean, you could go through the lineup and see where improvements could be made.
Tom Murphy with us on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, talking all things Hogs, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas, Democrat Gazette. Tommy, you referenced Kendall Diggs as maybe a guy that gets going. I think he was 0-for-7, 2 walks. I would say that, like, the possibility, I know he didn't start that game one, if I remember that right, but is there anyone that is, like, actually conceivable that you replace him with in right field? Because it doesn't seem like anyone's, like, stepped up enough from a hitting standpoint that you yank him at this time.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. And I think he got a little bit of the veterans, you know, leeway. And, like, then he comes back in the lineup and he's leadoff. Mm-hmm. And it's been a couple of different games. And it's almost like they're trying to kind of force-feed ways to get him back on the horse. And I think he's had better at bat recently. So I don't think there's any reason to just go, okay, we've given you all the chances, you're out. I think he's hit well. His at-bats have been competitive enough lately that you stick him in there. But if he continues to struggle, then I think you look at having Peyton Holden right, Wilms Meyer in center for defensive purposes, and he hit the ball better last week. And then you could run Lovett or, you know, Jason Jones got a good shot over the last week in left field, or even Edmondson, because he's kind of a more get-on-base guy. The good thing is they've got a lot of different guys who had the opportunity, and so it won't be a huge shocker if they're suddenly inserted in the postseason.
I hope Kendall gets going. He's had some big hits. I know just with the injury he's dealt with, it hasn't been necessarily the SEC season that he's expected. Speaking of the SEC, saw this news. In addition to the conference All-SEC teams, how about the first base bag and them trying that? I know they've had this, I think, in non-conference games at points this year, but they're doing it the conference tournament this week. Maybe, Tom, for those who don't know, what are your thoughts on the two bases at first base this week in Hoover?
Well, first of all, I like it. Second of all, we're about to go through the tunnel, so if I lose you, I think we'll still be connected. My favorite response, though, was Brady Slavin saying it's about time, or finally, whatever he posted, because, you know, he turned his ankle in the conference tournament a few years ago. So I think it's a good idea to lessen the chance of injuries and collisions between first baseman and runners.
Tom, before we let you go, we caught you on the road because I know you're probably traveling to Hoover right now. I know you've lived in Fayetteville for several years. As you've traveled across Arkansas and gone all over the place for different sporting events, do you have a speed trap that maybe stands out to you? We've had a bunch of responses this morning. People are citing Elm Springs, they're citing Johnson. I mean, there, you go all over the state. Do you have one that you always are particularly careful about as we let you go this morning?
Well, when I first moved into town, people warned me about Johnson, so I always tried to keep it down in Johnson.
Smart man.
But along the interstate, though, I'm trying to think if I've even been pulled over. I'm a more mature driver these days.
There you go.
When I was younger, yeah, I got pulled over in Mississippi several times on the interstate, what have you. But I wouldn't say I know that there's a special speed trap anywhere that, you know, that rankles me.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.